This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan. We're broadcasting today from the Newseum, Washington, D.C.'s newest museum that specializes in journalism and the news business. George W. Bush did much better with Latino voters than previous Republican presidential candidates. It was one of the major factors that allowed him to win the White House twice. But this time around, it looks as if John McCain will have a hard time getting that level of support, and that could prove critical in some key swing states. Nationwide, some analysts say the magic number is 35%, that McCain needs more than a third of the Latino vote, and that will not be easy. But there's still more than a month left, and both candidates are working hard to convince Latinos to vote for them. Later this hour, we continue our series of conversations about what's at stake in this election called This American Moment. We'll talk with Wall Street Journal columnist and author Peggy Noonan. But first, we want to hear from Latino listeners. How have the campaigns reached out to you? Radio ads? Phone calls? What are they doing? And is it working? Our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And we begin at member station KUT in Austin, Texas, with Federico Subervi, professor of journalism and mass communication at Texas State University, San Marcos. And Federico Subervi, nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here.
And where is the Latino vote going to be most important, do you think?
There are four states that are battleground states for Latinos, and that's New Mexico, Colorado, Nevada, and Florida. And the margin of victory there is quite close, and Latinos may make the difference.
At the moment, three of those are trending Democratic, one trending Republican.
That's true.
Yeah.
Florida is trending Republican, but it may not stay that way. Who knows about the others at this point?
The two most important commodities in a presidential campaign are time and money. How much are both campaigns devoting to Latinos specifically?
This year, more than any other year, the Democratic Party has outspent the Republicans, at least from the figures that I have. And that's about $20 million dedicated to get the Latino vote. Most of that money, or practically all of it, is going to the battleground states. You won't see that much of the effort in some Latinos who live in California and Texas say, hey, we're a lot of Latinos here. Where's the campaign or the effort to reach us in these two states? And it won't be as much as in the other, which in the other four states where the margin of victory is still uncertain.
What are they spending that on? Is it on television, radio advertising?
Mostly television and radio.
And is it in Spanish?
And grassroots, and grassroots efforts.
And is it Spanish?
I don't have the
broadcasting.
It's a combination. I'm sorry, it is a combination. There's a lot of effort in Spanish because it may make a difference for first-time voters who are recent citizens, and those have the highest proportion of voting among Latinos. And then there's a need to get the English language spots, too, because many Latinos who are already citizens, second, third, fourth generation, are primarily English speakers.
And what about the McCain campaign? What are they doing? How much of their effort is going to the Latino vote?
I don't have the figures for them. I don't know how much specifically they're spending, but the big effort from the McCain campaign is in Florida because they have the preference of the primarily Cuban-American and more conservative vote. But there is an interesting figure. The further away you get from Miami and the younger the Latino voter, the more Democrat it is. So there is a big battle going on probably in central Florida where Orlando and Tampa have a greater proportion of Puerto Rican and other Latin American U.S. citizens than is the case for Miami where it's mostly Cuban. And there it's more Republican, yes.
Yeah, why is it, traditionally, that John McCain hopes to get outvoted only 2-1?
This year, the effort that the Democratic Party has as an advantage the tarnishing of the Republican brand among Latinos because of the immigrant bashing that took place prior to the primaries and also during the primaries. The repeated anti-immigrant, anti-Latino rhetoric from Tancredo, Romney, and a few other Republicans rubbed poorly among even conservative Latinos who felt that among their communities, in their communities, they were being discriminated against thanks to that repeated anti-Latino, anti-immigrant rhetoric.
And you're talking about Tom Tancredo, the Republican, retiring Republican from Colorado, who's was running for president, sort of a one-issue candidate. Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, one of the major Republican candidates. Yet John McCain was a sponsor of the immigration reform bill and is certainly not demagoguing the issue of immigration.
True. Yet when the debates took place, even the debate that took place for Univision's network, television network, when asked about whether he would support an immigration reform bill, even McCain was reluctant to say yes. In fact, he said he wouldn't even vote for his own bill. His purpose was more to get to secure the borders. And an important bill for Latinos was also the DREAM Act, in which children of undocumented immigrants would have an opportunity to gain their citizenship by attending college, getting providing service to their community or the military, and then that would be a path for their citizenship and also to obtain scholarship federal funds for their school. There was no answer from McCain or any other Republicans about favoring that such important bill for Latinos, and that's true for Latinos, be they Democrat or Republican. They really wanted that bill to pass. And there was no response from the McCain himself nor from the other Republicans about favoring that. So the big issue was just secure the borders, secure the borders. Meanwhile, the discrimination continues. The rhetoric against Latinos has escalated in some communities, and that has not been favorable for any Republican to get many Latino votes.
We're asking our Latino listeners today, what are the presidential campaigns doing to try to reach you? Phone calls, advertising, letters, is it working? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Renee is on the line. Renee calling us from Lansing in Michigan.
This is Renee from Michigan. Thank you for taking my call.
Go ahead, please.
Health education and employment, those are my concerns. I'm an independent voter from Michigan, a Latino male, and these issues are not being addressed to us. And you know, I mean,
That's not quite the question we're asking you, Renee. How have the campaigns been reaching out to you? You say they're not reaching out to you at all. Have you not gotten a phone call? Have you not seen any advertising?
We're getting calls, but these issues are not being addressed. They're not being addressed to us. These are the things that we have concerns about, okay? To tell me about how you support Latinos and for Latinos does not address the issues that we have concerns with. My vote, right now I'm leaning towards Obama, but my vote is going to go to whoever addresses those issues, and we need to be addressed in those forms.
And if
how are we going to deal with? We have the highest rate of dropout in the entire United States among Latinos.
And if if neither candidate addresses those issues,
well, they're not addressing it right now. They're just doing the same hawk, you know.
Yeah.
Although I do believe that Obama has a better chance, I'm not convinced that at this point that McCain can take us there. I would like Mr. Obama to start addressing the issues of what are we going to do about education among Latinos in the high dropout rate?
Go ahead, Frederica.
I'd like to suggest that although we do not hear that rhetoric in the news stories or in the political advertisements that go on in English or Spanish directed to Latinos, anybody who's really interested in what the parties might promise for Latinos, look at the websites. And it is only the Obama website that has a blueprint for Latinos that does address education, the economics, housing, immigration. The Republican, the McCain website does not have that information. Now, the way that the campaigns are developed, they don't address these issues at the time when many people would like to see them, in every speech, in every campaign spot, in every political advertisement in newspapers or anywhere else, but they address what they think would get them the majority of the vote in a particular location. So that's why we don't see some of that, as I said earlier. In Texas, we don't see much of any propaganda, at least not where I live in Austin, for any of the candidates, and we would say they're not addressing us nor our issues. But we have to go to the websites to look at that to get a better understanding of what each candidate promises or might promise and fulfill for the Latino community.
Yet in Texas, neither is broadcasting to white or African-American voters either, because everybody thinks Texas has long since decided it's going to be in the John McCain camp. Renee, thank you very much for the phone call.
Thank you for taking my call.
Let's pick up his point, though, with Ruben Navarrete, a columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune, who joins us now on the phone from San Diego. Nice to have you back on the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. Good to be back.
And the issue that neither of them is really addressing, a lot of the issues critical to Latinos, including immigration. They have both taken stances on immigration in the past. Neither is talking about it very much on the campaign trail.
Absolutely. Both are staying away from it. I guess it's just as well, because this is one of those issues where, unlike the Iraq War, the candidates are virtually identical on the immigration issue. They both support a comprehensive immigration reform plan that would have a bunch of conditions attached to it before people could become legal, something that is not liked by either the far right or the far left, and both McCain and Obama fall squarely in the middle on that. So maybe that's one of the reasons there isn't much upside for the candidates to have that discussion, since they end up agreeing at the end of the day.
It might be a teachable moment. A lot of the people in the United States are pretty would vote the other way. So this might be a way if both of them campaign on it, to persuade some people.
It could be, but the point here, unfortunately, is that these folks are trying to get elected. They're not really trying to teach us. They should be, I think. In the bailout, for instance, it gives them an opportunity to teach us things we don't know about how intertwined our destinies really are with that of Wall Street. And I think, to their credit, they're saying that today. But with regard to immigration, they're not really interested in a teachable moment. They're trying to avoid losing voters, and both of them, I think, see a downside to engaging the issue. Obviously, as the professor stated, McCain sees a significant downside toward aggravating the far right. They don't like his position on immigration reform. Obama, likewise, does not have any interest in antagonizing the far left, members of organized labor, that likewise don't like guest worker plans because they think they hurt American workers. So for both of these candidates, there is a significant cost to having a frank discussion about the immigration issue.
And so just ignore the elephant in the room.
Absolutely, because they're afraid that elephant might step on their throat. They have no interest at this point in the game in making enemies. They're trying to get the maximum number of votes as possible. Barack Obama has a device for doing that. He actually says four or five different things in one soundbite or in one speech. I've noticed this lately. It's the way to get the maximum amount of benefit. You get everybody's votes. And on the immigration issue, there is just too much of a significant downside. I know they're getting precisely that advice from their advisors, from the people around them, saying, don't you dare go anywhere near that issue. You're only going to make enemies.
Stay with us, if you would, Ruben Navarrete. And we're going to say our thanks to Federico Subervi, a professor of journalism and mass communication at Texas State University, San Marcos, with us today from the studios of member station KUT in Austin, Texas. Thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to continue talking with our Latino listeners as well. How are the campaigns reaching out to you? Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. In the swing states of New Mexico, Colorado, and Nevada, Florida, too, Latinos are crucial voters. Bill Richardson, the Democratic governor of New Mexico, recently said the Hispanic vote in those states is going to decide this election, and both candidates are trying hard to win those votes. We're talking today about what John McCain and Barack Obama are doing to reach Latino voters and if it's working. Our guest is Ruben Navarrete, a columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune. We'd like to hear from our Latino listeners today. What have the campaigns done to reach you? Is it working? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org, and we'll take comments from our audience here at the museum as well. And Ruben, I wanted to ask you this email question we got from Carrie in San Antonio, Texas. In reaching out to the Hispanic vote, what ad agencies are producing these spots? Are they in Washington and New York? Are they predominantly Anglo political agencies? Or are they produced locally, i.e. in South Texas, New Mexico, Miami? Are they reaching their target audiences effectively or not? Do you know anything about that?
I do, and what a coincidence, the emailer comes from San Antonio. One of the people who, behind the McCain effort, is the guru of Latino Republican ads, and that's Lionel Sosa, who 20 years ago started the entire industry of selling Coca-Cola and other sorts of products through Latino ad agencies, and then branched off and started doing politics. And he's done some fairly good work, along with a lot of other folks, for the McCain campaign in terms of the ads. I think that Obama's ads have been a little more spotty. They've been criticized in the Washington Post and elsewhere for not being completely accurate. But I think that a lot of it is being done, frankly, at the grassroots level. I don't think there's the apparatus in Washington, D.C., frankly, among all the various agencies that are out there. You're going to have to go to the Southwest to find these agencies, and that's what those candidates have done.
I wonder, there have been some polls out that suggest that, at least as partly as a result of the anti-immigrant wave that we've seen here the last couple of years, that Latinos are uncharacteristically pessimistic about their
right.
futures in this country. How does that cut towards one candidate or another?
You know, the first glance, it would suggest that it cuts against John McCain. It hurts McCain because McCain is identified with the Republicans in power. And then, you know, married to Bush and the whole idea that you want to change, so you want to get away from that. On the other hand, this is a scary time, and I think especially so with the economic crisis. And I think if Obama is promising change, change is always scary. And so I could argue it either way, and I think it's there are some people who are more inclined today because of the crisis to go toward Obama and some less inclined to do so. The interesting thing about Latinos, though, is talk about a bit of irony here. It was John McCain who we now know cautioned his colleagues in the Senate, Rick Santorum and others from Pennsylvania, former senator from Pennsylvania, that the immigration debate was going to be seen as racist and that Latinos would ultimately exact a price from Republicans. And lo and behold, who is paying for those same mistakes he warned against but John McCain? So it's, you know, McCain, if nothing else, had great political insight. It's too bad he couldn't apply it to his own party.
Let's see if we get a question from here in the audience at the museum.
Okay. My question is related to race. And the question is the following. Is the Latino community ready for a black president? And I say that understanding that within the Latino community, there is some racist manifestation towards blacks.
And there's been tension in various places, certainly in Texas, Ruben Navarrete.
Right, all over the Southwest. Listen, there are tensions in the United States between every single group toward every other single group.
True enough.
Yeah, Latinos didn't invent racism against black people. That actually predates the arrivals of Latinos in many parts of the country. In many ways, America's, you know, racial dilemma is someone else's sin to atone for. But having said all that, the polls are pretty clear. Barack Obama is dominating the Latino vote. It's another weird thing has happened. A year ago, earlier this year, in fact, when Hillary Clinton was still a candidate, Hillary Clinton was beating up on Barack Obama, taking the Latino vote by a margin of 2-1. Now, as soon as Hillary Clinton left the race, the same thing is true for Barack Obama. He's dominating John McCain 2-1 among Latinos. I have been really struck and dumbfounded by the fact that John McCain isn't doing better with Latinos, given that he has done so well with Latinos, getting 65-70% of Latinos in those races in Arizona. And so something is going on here, and believe you me, Latinos do not have a problem supporting any Democrat for office, including an African-American one.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Hosanna in Danuba, California. Hello? Hosanna, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead, please. Is this Hosanna?
Yes.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
I was calling because I actually have not received anything from either candidates regarding the election. And I, for a while, my vote kind of went both ways. And I know that I am registered a Republican, and I usually vote for the Republican Party. But my boyfriend is registered Republican, but he's actually a Democrat, so he votes democratically. So with both of us, we haven't really gotten anything, and I feel like my vote could go either way sometimes because most my beliefs are mostly conservative, so I tend to side with the Republican Party. But because of the immigration reform and everything else, I just really don't know who I'm voting for at times.
Well, California, again, not a swing state. It's solidly in the Democratic
Absolutely.
Camp, so neither party is spending any money in California.
Absolutely.
Yes, and we don't get any of that. And I know that a lot of my coworkers or, you know, people that I associate with are going to vote Democrat. And I believe that, you know, Obama will win the state. And just like they switched over their vote from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. And just don't know.
Okay. Hosanna, we hope you have a good time making up your mind, though.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Joining us now from our bureau in New York is Javier Costaño. He's director of the Spanish-language daily newspaper Hoy Nueva York. And thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me here.
And you were quoted in an interview saying Latinos don't feel identified with any party in this election, yet, as we've just been hearing, they're coming out in large numbers, at least according to the opinion polls, for Barack Obama and the Democrats.
I believe that we are lost, especially here in New York. We don't see the kind of advertising in TV or radio or print media trying to reach the Latino vote, probably because the money is concentrated in the four states that Federico Suburbia just mentioned. And when I go to the streets and I talk to the Latino people, they identify with the fact that the two conventions didn't address the problems that are affecting the Latino community in New York and in the national level. We are talking about immigration. We are talking about probably the TLC. We are talking about housing and access to health care. So we are not identified with that. In the same way, I welcome the economic crisis in Wall Street because that put everything in perspective. It is not about politics. It's about how to get a job. It's about how to invest and how my money is saved, and it's about reality. And we are seeing reports now that Mexicans are going back to Mexico because they cannot find a job. The money that Mexicans and all Latin Americans are sending to Latin America is decreasing.
Yes, there was just a record small month in terms of money sent by Mexican-Americans back to their families in Mexico, a surprising drop on that. And I'm sure when you were talking, Javier Castellano, that you're not welcoming the crisis on Wall Street because it's causing a lot of pain for a lot of people. But nevertheless, what's the effect, do you think? Again, New York, not a swing state. New Jersey, not a swing state. Connecticut, not a swing state. Those are the markets reached by the television radio stations and the newspapers in the New York City market, all of those solidly in the Democratic camp. Nobody's going to be spending money for votes that they think are already in the bag. What do you think the effect of not hearing issues addressed is going to be?
I believe the two candidates have to be very careful with the facts that are out there. Democrats say, okay, we have the vote of the Latino community because we vote for Hillary Clinton. And now Obama is going to have all those votes. But you have to be very careful because Obama is getting the back of John and new immigrants, and they don't vote. That's why they don't pay attention to immigration in that sense, because illegal aliens, they don't vote. So they have to be very careful. They have to attract the Latino vote, but just talking about the issue that affect us, and they are not doing that. Mm. It's like a hot potato.
Let's see if we get another caller on the line, and this is Harold. Harold's with us from Alameda in California.
Yes, hi.
Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the air.
I don't feel like either party is reaching out to me as a Latino, but I'm actually glad about that because I'm an American first that just happens to be Latino. Obama's reaching out to me as a Democrat, though.
So you plan to vote for Barack Obama?
Absolutely.
I think as we listen to both Javier Castellano and to Harold on the line, Ruben Navarrete, we're reminded that there are all kinds of Latinos. This is hardly a monolithic community. Ruben, are you still there?
I'm still here, and you're absolutely right. I go back to the caller from Dinuba who I think it was a great call because she laid out just how difficult it is for the political experts to get a handle on this. The only thing that's more challenging, Neil, is on Wall Street, on Madison Avenue, they have a tough time marketing to young people. They don't know what works, and they're always trying new stuff, and they always fall flat. And with regard to this, it's also a very complicated community. Not only do we speak with different voices, we have different perspectives, depending on the part of the country that we're from and what country we originate from or our ancestors originated from. But beyond that, as the caller from Dinuba pointed out, we're conservative by nature. Forget what you hear from the Latino, caucus in Washington. They don't represent anybody. We are conservative by nature, but we have been incredibly loyal to the Democratic Party. And then just when you thought you figured that part of it out, we also have shown a willingness to support various moderate Republicans, like, as I said, John McCain in Arizona. So we are complicated. I think people trying to find some easy handle to us, it doesn't really work.
Thanks very much for the call, Harold.
Thank you.
Here's a couple of emails. Linda in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Here in Oklahoma, I find candidates are not reaching out to Latinos at all because of the high anti-immigrant politics in the state following the passage of a harsh anti-immigration bill last year. To side with Latinos is conflated with siding with illegals. So I find that politicians across the board shy away from openly reaching out to this community. And this one from Carlos in San Antonio, Texas. I'm a Latino Republican in San Antonio. My wife and I are being approached by the Obama campaign, and friends have been recruited to go canvass in battleground states. I'm impressed by their organization and ground game, looking for bright young Latinos to travel the country and build a bridge to Obama. I used to like McCain, but I feel he's abandoned Latinos for fear of ostracizing the most radical of the right. Our guests still with us are Ruben Navarrete, columnist for the San Diego Union-Tribune, and Javier Castaño, director of Spanish language daily Hoy Nueva York, and he's with us from our bureau in New York. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get a question from here in the audience at the museum.
My question is, how strong are the initiatives across the country to register new Latino voters in time for the upcoming election?
Javier Castaño, what do you think?
It is pretty strong. I work for Hoy Nueva York, and that company is owned by Impremedia, and Impremedia with Entravision, with La Raza, and Naleo, the National Association of Latino Elected Officials. We just started a campaign a few weeks ago to register around 1 million new voters, and it's working well. We hope that we put a lot of people to vote this November, and it's very important the amount of people that Latinos can participate in the democratic process and elect a person. But we have to teach them how to vote and how to get informed of the issues that affect them.
Thanks very much for the question. Let's go now to Greg. Greg with us from Fort Mill in South Carolina.
Yes. The first thing I wanted to say is that you're right when you said that Latinos are not monolithic. And when someone was talking earlier about Latinos and blacks, remember, there are a lot of black Latinos. And one of those black Latinos is Rosa Clemente, who is being nominated by the Green Party as their vice presidential nominee. And that's who I'm voting for, because the Green Party is making an effort to reach out to me and express opinions and concerns about things that the other parties are dealing with. Now, it's also important to remember that most Latinos who came to the United States come from countries where there's not a two-party system. They come from countries where there's a multi-party system. So for these voters, it's not unusual to go into the polling place and vote for a third-party candidate.
Ruben Navarrete, do you see any support among Latinos for third-party candidates?
Not much, because you have two very exciting candidates already. I think that you would be hard-pressed to convince either the McCain folks or the Obama folks that there was something more interesting in a Green Party. No offense to the Green Party, but usually I think third-party candidates do best when people just sort of shrug and say, oh, my goodness, there's no quality candidate running this year. But whatever else you want to say, McCain and Obama, I think, are both candidates. They're both very capable. They both have, I think, shown in various ways. And I think it would be hard-pressed. I think one of the reasons Ralph Nader can't get much traction today is because there's not that level of discontent. There's a lot of excitement for both of these candidates. They're in a neck-and-neck race. Obama's slightly up over the last few days or so. But in order for a third-party candidate to win, people have got to sniff it and say, well, I don't like either party. I don't think that's happening this year.
But for those of us who are concerned about the working class, we never hear the working class addressed in the Democratic or Republican parties. But the Green Party is addressing the question of the working class. It's not always the middle class that counts. But the Democratic and Republican parties put it across as if that's the only party or the only group of people that counts as the middle class.
Yeah, I understand. But both parties would challenge you, I guess, on that. You may not agree with that, but the Democrats would say, listen, Joe Biden was chosen as vice president precisely because he does great with working class lunch bucket voters. And the Republicans would trump you further and say, guess what? We actually have a working class person on our ticket as a vice presidential candidate. So I don't know if either of the parties would necessarily agree with your assessment that they don't talk about the working class.
I certainly wouldn't expect them to agree with me. But like I say, you know, questions like the prison industrial complex, things of this sort, the things that are important to the hip-hop generation are not being addressed at all
right.
by those other two parties. That's why we're looking around.
Greg, thanks very much
Thank
for
you.
The phone call. Appreciate it. And Javier Castaño, I wanted to ask you finally, we just have a minute left, but what about this paradox of unprecedented amounts of money and attention being spent to attract the Latino vote and, as you suggest, a lot of the issues important to Latinos not being addressed?
Yes, I believe so, that we have to engage in a more important discussion of what is affecting the Latino community in this country. And the media has to be more aggressive. But remember that the media, especially the Latino media, is only a reflection of what's happening in the community. And I believe that what we lack in the Latino community on a national level is leadership. We only see other politicians backing the same parties, like the Republican Party or the Democratic Party, and saying, okay, they are going to talk about our problems, they are going to represent us, but we don't have a leadership or a leader who guide us in another direction or teach us how to be stronger and more informed.
Javier Castaño, thank you very much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'd also like to thank Ruben Navarrete, the columnist for the San Diego Tribune. When we come back, This American Moment with Peggy Noonan. This is NPR News.